Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sean Salisbury is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from 790 in Houston, a longtime NFL quarterback. Sean, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Good to join you. What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're doing well, but, you know, obviously a little controversy this week. Browns lose another heartbreaking game, and I don't know if you saw Hugh Jackson's rant after the game where he basically said, I got to get more involved. I got to do what I got to do. I'm the head coach. I can do whatever I want. You know, obviously Todd Haley hasn't said it publicly, but he's clearly not going to be happy about those comments. Now, Hugh Jackson backed off a little on Monday and tried to blame the media for misinterpreting what he was saying. But he said what he said, Sean. Baker Mayfield there, you know, gave his comments on it saying, hey, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. What do you make of that whole situation and what's going on here with Hugh?
Well, Mayfield's right. If you got to reinvent the wheel during the season, this is my part of it, but and just expanding on what he said. If you got to reinvent the wheel during the season, then you didn't do what you were supposed to do before the season to get ready and put in playbook in. So I agree with him there. And if you try to reinvent the wheel during the season, you're screwed. So no doubt. As far as if I was Haley, I'd be pissed. I've known Hugh a long time, and I like him, but that is coaches got to learn one thing. They ask their players not to speak out of emotion after a ball game or during the week, to just be smart how they use the media and how they approach the media and how the media uses them. And then after a game, your frustration, it's your fourth overtime game and you didn't finish the way you want to. And then to say that, you would ask your players not to say something like that because you would interpret it as a coach that if a player would have said, oh, during the week, we've got to get better prepared.
Yeah, right.
What would you, if you're a coach, what would your thought process be? Well, he just threw us under the bus saying, we're not doing enough during the week to get our team prepared. Same thing here. If you're Todd Haley, you were hired to be the offensive coordinator. If you're Hugh Jackson, then if you want to get involved, you don't need to tell us that.
Just get involved. Right, Sean?
You're the head coach, dude. It's like you don't need to tell. We don't need to know everything. You know, you can keep the clothing on. You don't need to see all the everything you do behind closed doors. Just do it. And then talk to Todd privately or what have you. And, you know, Todd's fiery and the rest of it. And, he doesn't have a problem voicing his opinion either. So, for me, it's a backwards way of saying, or it's a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a bus toss to where you roll back over and put it in reverse, but it is a little bit of a, we're not doing enough offensively, so let me come in here because I'm the savior and I'm going to fix it. If you're a head coach, you should have been fixing it every week with an offensive background, which is his background. That should have been done a while ago. So, and then they backtrack. That's the next thing. Just be smarter with you do it and just take care of it. You don't need to tell. We in the media don't need to know everything. We just don't. We think we do, but we don't. As a football team, as a football team, some of the things go on there should be like family. Just go handle it. And then 4 weeks from now, everybody in the building knows that's just kind of a way of saying, mm-hmm. I removed myself from it. The reason the offense isn't closing is because I haven't been involved. Now I'm going to go fix it. I don't like that. And I like you, but I don't like that.
Sean Salisbury is our guest. Sean, and here's the thing, too. He talked about the lack of scoring early, the lack of fast starts, right? Well, everyone knows you go through your script of plays, and maybe it's not the exact same plays. You go out there, the first 15 plays or 10 plays, whatever it may be. But, like, that's something you work at on Friday. Hugh Jackson knows the plays, knows what they're going to go up against. If you don't like something, scrap it on Friday or Saturday. Right? I mean, like, you know what the script is. I don't get it. What are you doing during the week?
Yeah, and if you don't know what the script is, then shame on you, correct?
Correct.
I mean, if you don't know what the offensive and defensive game plan is, all those hours, and then they'll tell us, I'm not just saying Cleveland, the coaching staff, yeah, we're here till 3 in the morning. Well, then what the hell are you doing? That's a lot of hours, man. I should know, quite frankly, as the head coach, I've always believed this. It's just like I tell my quarterbacks I train. What if your offensive coordinator or head coach got sick that day and couldn't call the plays on a Friday night? Are you prepared to call the game yourself? If you're not, then you need to study harder. It's the same here. If the head coach doesn't know the defensive approach or the offensive approach, play by play, then he's not doing the things that he should be doing as head coach, aside from overseeing it. And I'm not just saying it's just mutually exclusive to Hugh, but we're talking in Cleveland about Hugh now. So for me, yes, you couldn't be more correct. Those are the things on Friday, and you always go to your team. Every coordinator I've ever been around, or head coach, you guys, if it's not working during the week or it doesn't feel right, then you don't put a square peg in a round hole. You ask it now, it just doesn't feel right. Now, they want you early in the week, let's just try it. And if it doesn't work, we'll scrap it. You know what? The teams like the 49ers and the Cowboys in the 90s, guys, in the 80s, you know what everybody thinks? They have 500 plays a week. They didn't. That was their library and training camp. You know what they did? They had about 12 to 15 passes and about 5 to 6 runs. And you know what they did? They formationated that step and executed those great. That's what good teams do. They create deception to make it look like it's 25 different plays, when in truth it's about 3 or 4 to 5 to 8 different plays with a bunch of different formations. So, yes, you should know it. That's your job. That's what you – and you oversee and you hire those guys, and they should have the same like-minded thinking you do. And if you don't like, you get involved. It's like Sundays. I can remember Denny Green, guys. I loved Denny. And Brian Billick was our coordinator, and he was stubborn and great, and I love him too. But you turn it over to the offensive coordinator, and you let him call the game. And if you don't like it, then take it away. But Denny would say if it was 3rd and 3 at the 40, he'd simply walk by Brian. It didn't happen but a handful of times a game and say, give me your best run. Simple. He didn't have to say, give me this run.
Right.
Give me your best run. That's how Denny's getting. Denny knew everything about our offense and defense. But that's how he got involved. Give me your best run. It's up to you to call me your best run, but you give me your best run. And that's how we went about it. It's stuff that needs to be fixed, and as a head coach, that's part of your gig to not only oversee and manage, but you got to lead men and lead coaching staff so there's a trust factor. And that's something in Cleveland they still got a ways to go to get.
No doubt. Sean Salisbury, 790 in Houston. Sean, there's been a lot of complaints here from fans and even more importantly from players about referee calls. Now, to be fair, the Browns have had 4 or 5 really egregious calls go against them or not be called against the other team when they should have been. Now, I don't know if any of them cost them a game except for maybe the re-spot against the Raiders. But we saw this past week, Baker got hit in the helmet and they pulled up a flag and said he was a runner so you could hit him in the helmet. But the players are saying, you know, players are basically insinuating that the refs are picking on the Browns. You okay with complaints about officials, or you suck it up and don't complain?
Well, it's, you know what, it's like when in our life, when we come to our job every day and we got something to bitch about, we can bitch, but ain't nobody listening, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, sure. I get it. But I think that if you went into Denver, if you went into Arizona, you went into L.A., even with winning, I honestly think every team's got a complaint about it. I got a complaint about it. Now, I understand as a player, you got to be careful as a coach because you get fined. There's two things about this. I wouldn't want to be an official, guys, because it's a rough job. But they wouldn't want to be a quarterback either because that's a rough job. This is what they do. It's what they get paid for. I personally, I'm just going to say it now. I think the officiating, it's a hard job, but I don't think, put it this way, they're making about a C-plus in what they do. And that ain't good enough when you're dealing with $1 million athletes and $1 million business. You got to keep up. And I think that they do a decent job and a good job, but you got to do a great job. You can't miss calls that are blatant. And then all this replay, that's okay. And I think we've gotten to a point that the replay's become a crutch.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It has.
Yeah.
And I think they've taken it. Well, it's okay. When in doubt, I got the dude upstairs that'll fix it. I'm not saying everybody's like, I don't want to put an umbrella over all of them. It's a hard job, and they do their best. But you know what? Sometimes if your best isn't good enough, somebody else got to do it, or we got to add more officials. So I understand the Browns' complaint. And I'll tell you what I don't like, guys, and then I'll get a lot of disagreement on this. I don't like the fact that players and coaches always have to address the media when there's something. You know, remember when Michael Jordan got fined from the NBA All-Star game because he went to Vegas and gambled and didn't show up the media day, and they fined him over media day at a friggin' All-Star game? How about this? Why doesn't the head official or the head umpire, the chief crew chief, for 15 minutes, why don't they have to address the media and tell us why?
You're right. I agree.
So, you know what? Why don't you have to address the media just to tell us? Nobody's going to throw tomatoes at you or go after you. Our players are securely protected. We let those guys run off into the locker room, and then we hear from New York 2 days later with an apology. I don't want to hear their apology. You ain't saving me a damn game. So whether it's Cleveland, it's not mutually exclusive to them. We all have complaints. It's tough. And it's when it goes against our team, we think that they got it in for us. But I don't think the officiating matches the play. Okay, let's just put it that way. So while the play sometimes is not very good, I agree the officiating isn't as well. So for me, I would like those guys, just give me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Address it and get up and get your butt on a plane. We all got a plane to catch. I just don't think – I don't know why we protect them. They get paid big money to keep a second job, and they get paid plenty of money, and they're involved in it. Answer the damn question of why you called a strike when it was a ball, or answer the question of the controversial call in the end zone. Even though replay saw it, I want to know what you saw.
Yeah.
You're the head official. You tell me what you saw.
I 100%,
we don't do that enough.
I 100% agree. There's not enough accountability from officials. The leagues do not make – and baseball, too. I agree with you. And basketball.
Yep.
They don't make the refs accountable. You're right. You know, Sean, I'm curious, you know, I know it's not in Houston, but on the other part of Texas for you there, the Cowboys make a big trade, give up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. What did you think of that deal?
My first initial thought, guys, on the cosmetic side was the Raiders, who don't seem to bamboozle many teams, fleece the Dallas Cowboys. And then I started to go over, D.J. Moore, Ridley's a good player, and then these guys may be good players. I'm just talking about early – guys that have been drafted in the first round in recent years. Corey Davis, John Ross, high draft pick Dotson and Treadwell. Go down the list of high picks that you're like, man, Corey Coleman.
Yeah.
And you say, well, they're not very good. So you trade and you say, well, the Raiders are going to go to first round pick. The Cowboys, they went and got a guy set a draft and one next to you. You say, well, is he good or isn't he? At least you go get a guy who the first couple years in the league was a pretty dominant player.
Yep.
Now, he's got some explosiveness to get back, and the ball's on the ground too much, and maybe a new venue's going to help. Initially I thought, well, you know what? Yeah, the Raiders smoked him. And I thought, well, is Amari Cooper as good as the 17th pick of the first round? Maybe, but he's still got and as a guy's lifelong Raider fan, he's got some – I thought he was going to be a star in the league, especially at the first season. I said, this is going places. And then it's kind of like his game and his explosiveness has backed off from when he was at Alabama. I think he'll help. It makes Beasley a better player. They don't have any weapons there for the most part other than the running back and the slot guy. And I think it actually puts more pressure on Dak Prescott. He wants the $100 million when his contract's up. And instead of saying to the Cowboys, well, you go do this because you can't carry a team but just fit in, what they said now is we've given you another weapon, dude. Now we've got to extend it. We've got to be more vertical. We've got to be better. So I think it actually works for both. But you know what? We're not going to know for the next 8 or 10 weeks to what
Fair
kind
enough.
Of player, how quickly Cooper picks up on it. But I likely, if the Raiders are going to just say we're having a fire sale, then do it, man. Get rid of them all and get 5 or 6 first-round picks in the next 2 years and see if you can build it because they're not going anywhere. They're as bad as we have in football.
Oh, brutal. Sean, great stuff, man. Great insight. Thanks for
thanks,
joining
Sean. Us. Sean.
I always appreciate you, fellas. Thank
yeah.
you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.